So then I see sea ducks here, and I see a kayak here, and nobody in it. Now I know what it is now.
On Sunday afternoon, Delaware Natural Resources Police and Sussex County authorities responded to a call about a kayak floating in the water with no one in it. As the officers prepared to drive to the scene, the call was withdrawn. They learned it was a self-driving kayak that had been programmed on a mission to map Broadkill Beach.
When you see a kayak floating around without a person, it can cause some alarm. So we had a concerned person to see what looked like an unmanned kayak and assume somebody had fallen overboard.
Tim Pilligard is studying marine studies at the University of Delaware, and it was his kayak that drew the attention of several nearby residents. Along with oceanography student Stephanie Doner, Pilligard was at Broadkill Sunday deploying that kayak and a drone to measure the shape of the beach. They wanted to see if the nor'easter several days prior affected the beach, and if so, by how much.
When a nor'easter is coming around and the winds are coming out of the northeast and just blowing across the Delaware Bay, they're creating one waves from the fetch. We say how far the wind can blow in an open area is its fetch. But then it's also piling up the water on this side of the bay.
Doner says the combination of waves, higher water elevations, and the fact that the area has the tendency to flood could cause significant changes to the beach in a short period of time. And that's where unmanned kayaks and drones come in.
I have a radio telemetry link to the kayak, so I'm talking to it wirelessly. And I have the mission loaded onto this software here, and what I'm doing is I am loading it onto the kayak right now. Can you bring that a little bit closer?
Yeah. Pilligard says the kayak is pre-programmed on a mission to collect data points. While it is on that mission, it collects data measuring the depth of the ocean. It tries to pick the best way to go from point to point and navigates itself. The kayak requires minimal checkup as it drives itself back and forth along a fixed pathway.
I would say not our smoothest launch, but our more typical launch.
Pilligard's kayak has a fixed speed of sound. It sends a ping of sound down to the bottom of the ocean and records the time the ping takes to hit the bottom and come back to it. This helps researchers calculate the distance of the water below the boat, the depth of the seafloor. And Doner's drone, a fixed-wing Eby she calls Bumble, flew through the air taking photos of the beach. Doner programs the drone's flight height, location, and by how much percent each photo will overlap. UD students have been pursuing coastal mapping projects even before a boot camp in August brought them together to experiment with different technologies along the coast. Doner says they try to gather data near the shore and from the ocean, including the height of the seafloor, the shape of the beach, and dune vegetation.
We want to collect that data before and after storms as quickly as possible, within a few days before the storm hits and a few days after.
Pilligard says he knew a storm was coming, so he went to collect data the Friday before the storm and the Sunday after. Doner, however, was at a conference and couldn't collect data right before, so she is comparing her data from the drones to data from December. And Doner says measuring beach data after a storm is important because coasts are constantly changing.
And yet, they're one of our most fun and actively sought after locations. You know, we need to know how they're changing, why they're changing, what storms do to them, what tides do to them, what we do to the coasts. So that's why we're out here.
Days after their Sunday work on the beach, Doner and Pilligard dug into their data. Pilligard says he was not able to tell which direction the sand was moving, but noted some sand was lost from the area he surveyed. Doner says she noticed an increased slope where the beach meets the water. She also noticed the wind and the waves took a bite out of the beach. This means sand was taken off the beach, but it may be under the water.
Individual storms, even if they're not historic level like Superstorm Sandy, are still affecting our beaches in ways that we can see visually and that we can measure with instruments. And we should take that seriously, whether it comes to data collection or planning projects for beaches.
Doner says they plan to survey the coast again this summer, unless another storm and another opportunity to track coastal changes surfaces before then. Katie Pikus, Delaware Public Media.